Hey, it's us again. Look, it's dark again. It's dark, it's light.
It doesn't fucking make any goddamn sense.
Well, you know what? Okay, so
whatever it wants to be.
Earlier today, hopefully the microphone sounds okay, because earlier today, I swear to God, I touched nothing, I did nothing, and then I was going to make a video today, like one of my book reviews, and I went to record it, and then I was just like, I had a little voice in the back of my head going, you better do a test. So I did a test, and then I listened to it back, and it sounded like ass.
Yeah.
And then when I went and checked the settings, not the settings on the microphone, the settings on the computer for the microphone, it had turned it all the way up again.
Yeah.
I did not touch that. I did not do anything to it. So I have no idea why. This is your fault. It's your poltergeist is haunting my shit. Louis says it's not good. That's good.
Lokinson's asking if this is the damn watch along or what. It's a review, man.
Yeah. We ought to do watch along sometimes. Like, I've kind of thought about doing that. It's just the logistics of it kind of give me a headache. But
and this would be 2.5 hours because this movie's in two parts. It's 2.5 hours.
It is, yeah. I have thought about that too. But like, especially when we're watching, like when we were watching Gargoyles the other night.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, oh, it'd be funny if we did kind of like a watch along because we make a lot of funny comments.
Yeah, I don't
like
know
when we're watching the shit.
I don't know how to set that up.
I don't either of you paid that.
Because you can't do the audio or anything, you'd get canceled. Fucking shut the channel.
Well, what you can do, I've seen people do it, and it's like, it's basically, you can show like tiny clips, but you basically just show your faces, and you can have the, you know, the audio maybe in the back, but just like really, really low.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've seen people get away with that, but I don't know. I don't know if I'd risk it, because it does seem like copyright is kind of a big issue.
Louis, Ann, Sandra, Sophie. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's here.
Badger's
everybody's
in.
Here.
David June is in. That's who gave us this movie.
Yeah,
David June sent us this movie. Good show.
Because we were talking about, I don't even remember what show we were talking about. But let's see.
Yeah.
The Batman triple feature.
Yeah.
Batman the Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and 2 and Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Right. Which Mask of the Phantasm I saw a long time ago, but I don't remember that much. I remember it being really good, but I haven't seen it.
We haven't
watched that one yet, but I saw it a long time ago, like many years ago.
Yeah. And it was weird because when you go to the title screen on this, I thought it would be the three sections.
Yeah, like part one, part two.
Part one, two, three. I thought there'd be three, but there isn't. There's two. And if you pick the first Batman one, it plays part one and two just back to back.
I didn't even realize. I thought it was just one long movie. I didn't even realize that it was supposed to be in two parts.
No.
I was just at some point, and we were like 2 hours in, I'm like, wow, this movie's kind of long.
This came up a couple weeks back when I was talking about Superman Red Son.
That's right.
Which it's DC animated movie about commie Superman. What would happen if Super Baby fell in the Soviet Union during the
Super
time?
Super Baby.
That's what I'm calling fucking Super Baby. What would happen if Super Baby fell in the Soviet Union under the time of Stalin and grew up a commie? What would happen? And it's funny because then you get to see, you know, Russian Batman. And then
Russian Wonder Woman.
No, she's not Russian.
Yeah, that's right. I say that every time, but she's not.
She's still from the Isle of Lesbos. She says she come from an island. There's no men. And fucking Superman's
nice.
Like, Red Son's like, I get it. He's trying to date her. And during when I was talking about that, I kind of made the comment that this subject matter and this material, you know, the source material is animated. It's comics. And the topic makes more sense to me in animation than it does, say, live action. Because most of those Marvel movies that I saw, most of the DC live action movies, some of them I like, but they're just, especially the Marvel ones, they're just fucking bland. Just a big spectacle.
But remember how rad Into the Spider-Verse was? Because it was animated?
It was animated, though.
Man, I loved that.
Into that Spider-Verse, I liked it.
I liked that a lot.
And I liked Shazam. It was live action, but it kind of felt like a cartoon.
Yeah, because it was goofy. Yeah.
Silly, but it was fun. And saw Red Son and liked that. So David June suggested this one, and he sent it to us for review. So we just saw the Batman one. We didn't see the what's the second
Mask
one?
Of the Phantasm.
We didn't see that.
Yeah, just saw the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, and it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
I did as well.
The Peter Weller, who's the guy who played
fucking RoboCop. God damn
He's in
it.
A lot of movies.
RoboCop is Batman now.
Yeah, he does Batman. Does the voice of Batman, and then a bunch of other people, you know, are in there. It's the story takes place when Batman's old. It doesn't say how old
he's,
he is.
According to Wikipedia, he's supposed to be 55.
He's 55.
And Commissioner Gordon is 70. Because I looked it up, too, because I was like, okay, so this came out of two parts. It went direct to DVD and didn't play at theaters or nothing. Now, DC Animated Universe, I guess this is the 15th movie, so they've done a shit ton before this. This comes from a 1986 comic book.
Yeah.
The Frank Miller one. Now, this is the same. It's a different timeline, I guess, than some of the movies. This is the same timeline as Batman Year One.
Okay.
So even though it's 1986, Bruce Wayne is 55 years old.
It's funny because they were talking about him like he was old. That's only 4 years older than me.
Bitch, you're old.
Bitch, I'm old. Just he's kidding. Fucking acting like he's old, man. You know, I thought
he's like, my sciatica.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was like 65. You know what I mean? I thought that's how old maybe he was. But he's fucking drawn out to be pretty huge. He runs into Selina Kyle, also known as Batwoman. Or excuse me, Catwoman. Catwoman. And she's fat. She's fat and running a damn hooker agency. And
that made me laugh the hardest. I was like, shit.
Joker tied her up, fucking dressed her up as Wonder Woman and tied her up just to humiliate her. It's fucking funny.
Fucking
she's in
Joker.
A bondage pose. Joker was in it, and he was being all effeminate and everything, but he was kind of fucking crazy. He did some fucking crazy shit.
Yeah, he killed a lot of people in this cartoon.
Robin shows up in it. Robin's a girl. She's like a...
She's like Robin 2.0 or Robin 3.0, I guess, because I think he had another protege.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Because he referred to it, I didn't see the movie that was before this, but I guess like before this, he had a protege called Jason Todd.
Yeah.
And that dude got killed, I guess. Yeah. And so now this girl, she's supposed to be 13, actually.
Supposed to be 13?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that's inappropriate.
It is.
Because I thought she was supposed to be a college student. I thought her friends were
I thought that too, because, I thought they were all living in the dorm or whatever.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Wikipedia said she was supposed to be 13.
That's probably bullshit.
Maybe they changed it from the the comic. I don't know.
I thought she was in the college dorm, and she was doing a bunch of acrobatics and stuff. But she's wearing, like, the old-fashioned Robin costume with the little booty shorts and shit.
Well, yeah.
The one a man should never be wearing. Okay.
Well, it looked pretty good on her, I thought.
Yeah, it looked good on her. And what's funny is
even though she's animated.
Yeah, she's animated. And she's kind of like, I think you'd probably call her like gender queer. She's one of those where she's kind of like, you can't really tell if she's a boy or a girl. She kind of reminds me of a YouTuber called Milo. And she was you'll see what I'm talking about. Just like that.
She
glasses
reminded
and
me,
everything.
The way she was drawn reminded me of the way that, on the old, like, animated The Real Ghostbusters show.
Yeah.
The way that they drew, what's her face? The girl that, the woman that worked for them. Shit, man.
Know.
Her name just went right out of my head. Annie Potts played her in the movie.
She kind of reminded me of the girl from Scooby-Doo. Was it in Velma?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She had a little bit of a Velma vibe going
Velma
on, too.
Like Velma, but thinner.
She had, and she had Daphne-colored hair, though.
Yeah. Kind of like a boy. But I think it's just pretty cool character, I guess.
Yeah, I liked that character.
Although, the thing is that, they kind of goofed on her because she comes up out of nowhere without any training at all and tried to stop some crime and fucked it up because there were no crimes being committed. And that's why I'm saying that it's better. I think these movies are better animated.
They are, yeah.
Because the shit that happens in a superhero movie is so implausible that it just doesn't translate to live action very well for me. You know what I mean? Because it's just too fucking implausible. You got a girl with absolutely no training fucking jumping on a bunch of armed criminals and fucking beats up like six of them, and the dudes had assault rifles. You'd be a fucking dead man. Batman was doing shit like that. And they must have fired 200-300 rounds of Batman in one scene. They didn't fucking hit him a single time.
Batman,
and then he get grazed.
Batman's superpower is that he always picks enemies who can't shoot.
Right. Now,
that's a very important superpower to have.
Yeah, when you see amazing luck like that or amazing incompetency, you buy it and you understand it more when it's animated because you're not expecting realism.
Yeah, it's just a cartoon.
It's just emotion. you know.
Yeah.
But when you show that shit live action, you know what I mean? It strains credibility. You know, that's like the problem with The Mandalorian and Star Wars, where you got 30 fucking stormtroopers shooting at you and all these laser bolts and they can't hit anything. You know?
Although they did kind of clown on that a little bit, which I like. In the fandom, I just feel like that's something everybody clowns on because stormtroopers can't hit
anything.
Well, it's probably hard to see in those helmets. You know what I'm saying?
If you had helmets like that in that era, it would be part of your targeting system. So you would actually be able to aim better.
You would think.
That's how they would really do that. There'd be a holographic sights in there and all kinds of shit and communications and night vision goggles and it's also a gas mask. It's everything in one, you know. With Star Wars level technology, that mask would be badass.
Yeah.
Because just look at what the Mandalorian could do and everything. We're getting off track.
No.
Okay, we're getting off track.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I said, I didn't know a great deal about this going in. I had seen Mask of the Phantasm, but that was like so long ago that I barely remember it. And that, I don't even think that's in the same continuity. Oops, I could be totally wrong about that. But we were watching it and... It kind of struck me at some point that I'm like, oh, it's going off in this direction now. And now there's Superman and now there's Joker and now there's other stuff. Because, you know, the beginning of it had been mostly the mutants, you know, the gang that all looked like
out of the 80s.
From a 1981, terrible music video.
It's taking place in the 80s.
It is. It's 86. Yeah. Yeah. And it was actually, the comic book was actually written in 1986. So it was contemporary for the time.
Right.
You know, but they just like said it back then. So, yeah, the first part of it is, like, this gang, the mutants, and they're just kind of taking everything over. And like I said, they all have those fucking glasses on looking like fucking...
Little Ray-Ban rapper. Not
looking
Ray-Ban,
like,
little
looking
rapper.
There in Devo or some shit.
Yeah, and, Mohawks and fangs.
Yeah. Well, like, the main guy, the head mutant, whatever his name was, like, he was almost kind of like not even a person. He was kind of like a monster. Sort of.
I think they were mutants.
Yeah, maybe they were actual mutants.
Yeah. I guess.
Because he was like this big
with sharp teeth.
Shit, and he had like, unless he'd filed all his teeth down methodically. But he actually looked kind of more like a monster than a person. So they were kind of taking over. They're doing like terroristy kind of shit, like trying to take over Gotham. And, you know, Batman had retired because of Jason Todd, his previous, his protege dying, which had happened before the events of this movie. So... for a while, with all the crime, Batman's like, wait, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I gotta go back to Batmaning.
Yeah.
Even though I'm old. He's 55.
Man, you need to get on that TRT. You'll feel fucking fine.
Of course.
You'll feel fucking fine. Just pop right up out of there.
As soon as he made a comment like that, Tom was just kind of like, I was like, yep, there it is.
Yeah. Batman said some shit. I'm not feeling my old bone. Let's just get on that TRT. All that shit vanished. It's in your mind. It's just something happening at the cellular level. It has something to do, I don't know, man. It just goes. I remember it used to feel real fucking uncomfortable to get down and lay down on the ground and then get back up. I look underneath the car.
Yeah.
Look for the cat.
You're just like,
I do it now like it was nothing. I was like, what was the difference? You know what I mean? I was in shape then. It's just something about your metabolism is not running the right way. You run down because you're lacking natural fucking sustenance from all them damn hormones.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Vigor. You don't have the vigor.
That's what Batman needed.
He needed that damn fucking needle.
He was,
he'd be fine. He had all that mass. He was fucking, he must have weighed 500 pounds if he was to draw on the scale.
He's an enormous person.
I mean, Robin stood next to him and she was like the size of a small monkey next to him.
At one scene, like when they were hanging off the helicopter or whatever, like near the end, I was just like, oh my God, he could eat her.
Yeah.
She's so small.
But the edit was pretty good. The voice acting at first I thought was kind of spotty. It took me a while to kind of accept the voice acting, or it could have been that the actors themselves didn't feel as comfortable in the roles in the very beginning.
Or you weren't used to those voices in that context. Like that.
Although I didn't have that problem with Red Son. Red Son immediately bought it.
Yeah.
The animation's good. The score is good. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good movie. The only thing I can critique it on is that it's a part one and two, and I would have liked to have known when part one ended and when part two began.
I can tell you right now ended.
Well, it should have been on the DVD.
Yeah, but I kind of like that it was just one big long movie.
So it could have ended like an episode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that way you could take a break And there probably would have been a better dramatic pause, knowing that that was the end. That was the end of that part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Blending them together, I think, just made it seem like one long 2.5 hour movie, and it was almost kind of ponderous. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, you could tell that it was two different movies because I'm saying, like, it's the same overarching storyline, but the first part of it, like I said, is more focused on the mutants gang, whereas the second part of it is more focused on Joker and the new commissioner and, you know, all that kind of shit.
It would have been better on the DVD had there been an option to watch just part one and then have an end credits and then part two, or to have it where you to play it through, you know, or you could watch it like a full length feature.
Yeah.
I would have liked that option.
They just put, not too long ago, they just put out like a kind of a, you know what I mean, a deluxe Blu-ray edition.
Oh, did they?
So maybe you can do that. And it supposedly has like a whole bunch of like extras on
it. I think watching the whole thing just run back to back like that, I think it would have been better to watch it in two separate parts.
Yeah.
One on one day, and then you sit on that, and then the second part the next day.
I can see that.
Like an episodic. I think it would have felt better. So, you know what I mean?
But it didn't occur to me that it was two movies, so I was just kind of like, whatever.
I knew it was going on kind of long. I says, man, fucking wonder how long the second movie is.
Yeah.
But then I realized I just watched the second movie. Yeah.
That's just really funny. We're so observant.
Right.
But yeah, the end of the first movie, the end of the first part, was when Joker comes out of his catatonia or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he just like smiles. And then the beginning of the next movie is when he's on the talk show. Which, like you said, that was just like, oh, it's just like the movie Joker that had Joaquin Phoenix in it. Where he's on the talk show and then he's like gonna kill all the people in the fucking in the audience or whatever. Yeah. I think that, I mean, honestly, I liked all of this. The only thing that I thought was a little bit weird, and maybe people that, you know more about the DC universe could tell me. But I felt like the part with the mutants, that was cool, but it's like, I kind of felt like Harvey Dent was in there and he got his face fixed and he was sort of behind some of the terrorist shit. But then I think like the last time you see him, you figure out that even though his face looks quote unquote normal now, he still has this weird body dysmorphia where now he thinks both sides of his face look fucked up. And so he wants to die. So he's doing like all these bombings and shit. But then, like, after that, you don't really see him anymore. Like, what happened to him? Did he die?
I don't know.
I not paying attention? So it's like they don't really mention him anymore. Like, so Harvey Dent's not in it all that much. You know what I mean? I feel like there was a lot of buildup, like, for him being behind all this stuff with, like, the mutants and everything. But then he just kind of disappeared. Unless I just wasn't paying attention. I mean, I thought I was paying attention, but I guess not.
Sometimes it actually happens so fast that it doesn't really have time to sink in. I'm reading the comments. Another thing that that happened in it. Hold on.
Mango asked, did Mark Hamill do the voice for Joker in this? No, he didn't. It was shit, man. I didn't recognize the dude's name, but when I saw his picture like on IMDb, I was like, oh yeah, that guy. I can't remember what his name is though. But I actually really liked his Joker. Yeah. Michael Emerson. That's what his name was.
I think watching these things animated just makes more sense. All right. Robin had to run up the side of a damn roller coaster in a theme park. You know, the side of it. That's just not possible in real life. But it makes sense when you're looking at
like I said, cartoon. It's a cartoon.
And also the action of them fucking jumping out of helicopters or jumping up into helicopters or, you know, using a helicopter to come grab somebody. It seems to flow a lot better in an animated form. There's no way you could do that with live action and have that shit credible.
Everybody'd be like,
"No, get the fuck out of here."
Although, like I said, I do. Maybe you're right because when you see it, there's no expectation of realism.
Yeah,
like when you're watching a cartoon,
it's just art.
Well, and so you can just like chill out and enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of feel like I mean, I don't really have this because when I watch a movie, I'm just like, whatever, man, show me whatever, I'll buy it. But you know what I mean? If I'm enjoying the movie, if I'm not enjoying the movie, then I'm gonna nitpick. But when you're watching a movie, I think your brain is just kind of like, no, that can't happen. No.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like harder to just relax and like let shit wash over you.
Yeah.
But yeah. The creepy guy from Lost. That's right. Yeah. I knew he was on, he's been on some other shit too, but yeah, he was on Lost, the guy that did Joker. I really actually liked the Joker in this one because I didn't realize, like I said, so I thought it was going to be all about the mutant storyline, and then the mutants kind of, you know, the head mutant guy, he kind of like, you know, him, well, he first kicked Batman's ass, and then, you know, so then they had that fight at the end where he just kicked the mutant's ass, and then like all the, I just thought it was really funny how all the mutants, as soon as their leader got his ass kicked, like his ass handed to him by Batman, they were all just kind of like, oh, okay, we're going to follow Batman now.
Yeah.
And I was like, can't you guys just think for yourselves? Is that too much to ask?
Well, they're going to choose them. They're going to choose the badass.
Why don't you just go do your own thing? You don't have to be in a gang. But yeah, so they do that. And then I was just kind of like, oh, okay, so now, then I thought it was the end, which I guess it was if you were just watching the first part. But then I was like, oh, Joker, neat. And then it goes off on this whole other thing with Joker and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and Catwoman and Green Arrow was in there too.
Okay, I'm going to explain what happened, all right? The reason why they switched from mutant to Batman is because in the very beginning, Batman said that it's basically a hero worship cult. That they worship him.
Yeah.
And then if you can beat him, that type of guy would probably switch their loyalty.
Well, yeah, that's why it was such a big deal at the end that he had to like humiliate the guy too.
Yeah.
He can't, he's like, I can't just beat him. I have to like make him look like make him look like a punk.
Yeah. And then
that's not what he said.
Then they won't be able to follow him.
Yeah.
And then they'll choose me. And then he turned him into what they call the Sons of Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had his own. He had his own fucking warrior cult worship him.
Although he had to like tell them to settle down because they were still doing like all the criminals and stuff like that. And he's like, hey, no, we don't do that here now. Okay. It's like,
yeah, but there's that other scene where he's talking to Superman and that's the first time in one of these things that they kind of admit that, well, Superman and Batman said, well, actually we're criminals too.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
they're operating outside the law. Yeah, both of them are.
You can't be a vigilante, you know? And the cops were after Batman, and the only reason why they weren't after Superman is because Superman was in this movie was friends with Ronald Reagan.
Yeah,
and he was working for America.
Yeah,
beating up on the Russians, on the Soviet Union.
Yeah, he was going to like sink in all their like aircraft carriers.
Sinking their aircraft carriers.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of Cold War shit in this too. Yeah, like, mostly in the second part.
Which, you know, that fits the character because he was fighting the Germans too, fighting the Nazis in World War II.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was. Look, man, cartoon, fucking American comic book superheroes were war propaganda. That's what it was.
Yeah, essentially.
Essentially war propaganda. During World War II, a lot of the US GIs just read those. And that's why they had fucking, you know, Superman fighting the Nazis. Captain America was fighting, Tojo and Emperor Hirohito and fight Mussolini and all that.
Hell, man, they even had cartoons where Donald Duck punching Hitler.
Yeah, they did all that stuff. So
go search that on YouTube, Donald Duck punching.
Yeah, and that's really where 40s and World War II is really where the superhero actually kind of gained kind of mainstream cultural prominence. And it was war propaganda. And then after the war, it got attacked because it kind of had pedophilic overtones eventually. Because what the fuck these grown men running around with these little kids for? And they're living. You know what I mean? And then you got Robin in them little shorty shorts and shit.
It is a little weird.
And then, you know, it was really just a trend because sales in comic books started to fucking fail. So the guys that ran the that ran the comic book company said, well, you know, little kids read these. If we include the little kid in the story.
Yeah, I think that's all it was.
Right.
Like, it was just like, oh, I'm a little, oh, I get to hang out with Batman and like do all this. You know, I get that.
He's with this superhero and they're doing this stuff together. And it did kind of increase in the sales.
Yeah,
increase
I get that.
Sales. But it, to an adult, though.
It looks sketchy.
It looked fucking sketchy as shit. You got these rich fucking men with all these fucking, like, Batman, you know, he's on the other side of the...
These little kids putting him in little costumes.
Putting little kids in costumes. He's got all these toys and their mansions and underground... It sounds like Michael Jackson, you know? Like Michael Jackson, you know? That's what it sounds like. So they were looking at that shit sideways, and they were trying to censor him, you know, for kind of immorality. But then they, Marvel and DC, they changed their ways and they started putting in, they started drawing a little fucking certification on them. Like, this shit was certified. Good, clean fun. They took the little boys out of it.
No more little boys.
What did they call it? The Comic Book Association of America or some shit like that. They had a little seal of approval to make the parents happy. They just put that shit there.
Well, yeah, there was no, there's no legal certification for that. They just drew that shit on there going, no, it's totally fine. It's
totally fine. The little boys are gone.
Little Jimmy can read this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No worries. That was a pretty genius idea when you think about it. We're self-policing. But so this was a little, I guess this was, it's still weird, but like I said, I don't know. The Wikipedia page said that, that what's her name? The new Robin. What was her name? Kit?
Yeah.
Carrie Kelly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Wikipedia page says she was supposed to be 13, but like you said, in the cartoon, she seems like she was supposed to be like a college student.
That's what I thought. So I wouldn't believe too much.
I mean, because I thought she was living with, or no, because they, because Alfred picks her up at like a high school or something.
At
right?
one time. Yeah.
He picked her up in front of the school, and I'm pretty sure that was a high school or a college.
Yeah. And I think she was graduating.
Yeah, I mean, I thought...
I don't think she was
I didn't think
kid.
Of her as a little kid. Yeah. I thought of her as, like, 19 or something.
Yeah, 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 that's what I thought, too.
Something somewhere around there. Because she was hanging out... I thought that she lived in that apartment with, like, her roommate.
Yeah,
with her roommates.
About, they were talking about going to the protest and protesting these
fascists.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
They were calling Batman a fascist.
Right, so yeah. I thought that they were, like, college students. Because yeah, she lived with, like, this other girl and the other girl's boyfriend or whoever that other dude was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they lived in an apartment. She didn't live with her parents or nothing.
No.
So, you know. Maybe
I wouldn't believe that.
Maybe I don't know. I haven't read the comic. Maybe in the comic she was 13 and they were like, yeah, let's not do that. That's a little weird. We don't want to see like a 55-year-old man hanging out with a 13-year-old girl. It's creepy.
Yeah.
But so maybe they aged her up for the cartoon. I'm not really sure.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could get away with some shit in 86. You probably couldn't get away with nowadays as far as like hanging out with little kids.
They were
like
more innocent back then.
Well, people were more, no.
People were more innocent. Back.
People were, they just didn't know all the terrible shit that people got up to. That's
all.
It'll
be okay. It'll be okay.
I mean.
It was, though. I think it turned out okay for most of them.
Yeah, but there's always that one time when it didn't turn out okay. I've written about lots and lots of cases.
Yeah, I remember back in those days in the fucking, you know, around 95, 96, some of the fucking goth dudes fucking that I knew were hanging out in the clubs and he'd have some girl in there, you know, and they'd living in together. And then you'd find out later that she was like 17, 16, 17. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's still more susceptible.
There's a big difference between 16, 17 and 13.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big difference.
And there's a big difference between 22-year-old guy, 17-year-old girl. 55-year-old guy, 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, and the difference was is it was like the goth scene. I mean, fucking, these girls were kind of semi-runaways from home and fucking hanging out in clubs and fucking into like, fucking BDSM shit and fucking, you know what I mean? And fucking music. And you couldn't tell them apart from a fucking 25-year-old.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing.
So, like I said, once you get into, like, the 17, it's, like, not that big a deal, I don't think. But
just another, it was just another time.
Yeah. But when you're talking about a kid that young, it's a little weird. But so I will say that I did like the second half better because the second half was like action packed. There was fucking Joker in there. There was Superman was in there. There was commies. There was Batman and Superman kicking the shit out of each other. Green Arrow was in there with a fucking, what do you call it? Kryptonite fucking arrow to weaken Superman. Joker's in there at a fucking fairground just like shooting people like indiscriminately, and so actually doesn't Batman kind of kill Joker right at the end in the Tunnel of Love?
Yeah, I think it was kind of ambiguous. I don't remember if he grabbed his fucking gun or something happened.
And he basically
he forced Batman to kill him
pretty much,
something like that.
But that scene, I think that was my favorite scene of the whole movie, was like that Tunnel of Love thing. Because he was just like going, Joker's just going through going, woo, and just like shooting everybody, shooting everybody dead. And then not only did Joker die in the shit, but after he was dead, I guess he had rigged his body with like all kind of like rockets and bombs and shit like
to
that.
Catch on fire.
So it's like after that happened, so then like cops were coming and like the fucking bombs were going off and killing them as well. Then his fucking face all burned up.
Yeah.
And then Batman kind of feeling bad. Also, Joker stabbed Batman a bunch of times, like
Yeah.
in the gut. I did not think that he was gonna survive that. Because I think even though it was a cartoon, like Joker's doing that, I'm like, holy shit. Well, did you know what I mean? Because it's like,
Yeah.
it's a cartoon, and it's like, I don't know what happens in this timeline.
Yeah.
I'm like, Batman could die? I don't
Yeah,
know.
maybe it'd be the end of Batman. It
Yeah,
wasn't,
like I
though.
said, I don't, because I know that there's like several different, there's several different timelines
Yeah.
because, different people have written in that
I
universe.
just like seeing a fat Selina Kyle.
That, yeah,
That
they
upsets
need
me.
more of her.
Yeah.
I think she was only in like two or three scenes, but that shit was
Yeah.
so funny. Well, because I didn't
Batman kissed
realize
her. They go, I love you anyway. You know you're fat. I still love you.
that. Oh my God, that
He
was
didn't
so
say
funny.
that,
Well,
but
no, that was what he meant. But I mean, like, Joker turned up to see her first because he needed something from her. I didn't realize because he goes in the building and the front of the building says Kyle Escort Service, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, Selena Kyle? Like,
Yeah.
Catwoman? And so, like, I can't believe I remember that. But yeah, so Joker goes in there and she's all like fat and like boozed up and stuff.
Yeah.
She's like, did she have like a cocktail or some shit? And he said something, and he said something real bitchy to her. It's like, oh, the years have not been kind. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Also, I like that he had that mind control lipstick. That was pretty rad. That he could
Yeah.
just like kiss you and make you do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
So yeah, so he got her to do some shit. But yeah, so when Batman comes there and finds her all tied up and look in the Wonder Woman outfit.
She was in a fucking bondage, fucking pussy. For you guys don't know, the guy who actually, I imagine most people probably know, but the dude who came up with comic books are always fucking morally kind of fucking questionable. You know what I mean? They just always were. Parents didn't want their, especially back in the 50s and shit, 40s and 50s. Parents didn't want their kids fucking watching it and looking at that shit. Selena Kyle was fucking written by a dude who was in a bondage. She was a bondage queen.
Yeah.
So what she was with the magic rope to make you tell the truth, and she's like a torture queen. She's a lesbian from the Isle of Lesbos. It's kinky fucking fetish stuff, BDSM stuff. That's exactly
Yeah.
what it was. But back in the days, people were innocent. The bracelets of truth or so whatever it was. Okay, put these on, and then
Oh
like
my God.
and some of the And a lot of the fucking shit that was in that comic strip was was Wonder Woman tying up other women, and it's obviously fucking like traditional fucking bondage ties, with the fucking bondage poses and shit. That's where it came
Yeah, I
from,
can imagine
coming
like
from the
little
bondage.
boys like reading
Yeah, and
those
they're
and
like,
being like, why
"Whoa,
am I? Oh my goodness,
yeah."
I need
And
some
then like,
tissues.
yeah,
Well, it's just
fucking
fun. I
funny.
don't know. It's just really, really funny to me that I don't know. So I guess everybody's parents were right. They were terribly subversive, and they shouldn't have been
Yeah, they
reading
were.
them.
Yeah,
It's okay. Those kids turned
grown
out
men with
just
little
fine.
boys and bondage
Those kids turned
lesbians.
out just fine.
Fucking
You know, I
yeah.
read comic books when I was
Well,
younger. I
fucking.
liked the horror comics, but yeah.
Oh, we got Ed Wood. Fucking Soap sent Ed Wood. We got it.
Oh my God,
So,
I'm so excited.
yeah, because she's never seen it. She wants to watch it with us.
Oh!
So she's never seen it.
Oh.
So we're gonna have an Ed Wood night.
I've seen it many, many
Yeah,
times.
yeah.
Can I? I'm gonna put on like black and white makeup and like my vampire wig or whatever. Pull the string! Oh my God, I love that movie so
Pull the
much.
string. Because I'm double jointed. What do you think of Vampire Bella? I think she's a hottie. What do you think? Sorry, but
He said something like that.
yeah, sorry,
I
but
have to say that I think I
look at
mentioned
the
this.
tits. Didn't he say that? Look at the tits on her.
I don't think he called them tits. I think he said
Call it
something
someone.
else. Shit,
Yeah,
man. I
yeah.
haven't seen it in a couple years.
Yeah, evidently Bella was fucking.
Bazongas? No, it wasn't
Yeah, Bella.
it. Something like
Bella evidently was just
that.
into fucking boobs, and he wanted Melanermi. He liked fucking Vampyra. Get my hands on her tits. Come.
Yeah, he's
Come.
trying to do it through the
He's trying to
TV.
do it through the TV, trying to get it. And evidently, like a lot of the stuff from the Ed Wood movies is pretty accurate. It's fucking. Well, at least the lore around Ed Wood and his
Yeah.
friends, you know what I mean? The stories of the shit that they did in old Hollywood. Well, actually, he wasn't in old Hollywood. He was a parasite trying to get into Hollywood
Yeah,
on the
he was
very
on the very
peripheries
fringes
of
with no
Hollywood.
money.
He was in that area.
And he
Yeah.
ended up doing porn later, I think,
Yeah.
like after all the.
And it wasn't even good porn. It's just
No,
like
it was terrible porn.
girls dancing with tits going like that next to a skeleton. That's that kind of shit. he had to have like a theme.
But he was just such a.
It was a way to get around porn fucking laws.
I think it had to be. Yeah, I think the reason.
Like some kind of a cultural phenomenon with.
Yeah.
So dress him. Oh, I'm gonna dress him up like Polynesian.
It's educational.
I'm gonna dress him up like fucking Hawaiian Polynesian Islander girls and have him dancing with the titties going like that, well, right next to a skeleton.
You know, it's just like back. It's just like back in the old days where it's like they weren't allowed to show, like on TV back in the 70s or whatever. You weren't allowed to show a woman's tits unless she was like in an African tribe or something, and they didn't wear. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, oh, if it was on PBS and they were like.
Yeah,
so like funny. Anthropologists or something, then they can show tits. But I'm like, tits are tits, dude. And it's like everything. They're all tits. Just.
National
either show them all or don't show any of them.
National Geographic made billions of dollars selling nothing but just damn tribal African tribal girl fucking editions. Did you know that?
I know. Well, because
they're trying to get around that shit.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Well, it's like that's the only way they can show tits. You can't show fucking.
Let's go down to Haiti and watch some of these girls sacrifice these chickens, you know, nude in the fucking condomblé rituals.
Then they're like, it's anthropology.
No, we'll take the real curvy one. Have her. Yeah. It's the very shapely one. Have her.
It's like not the old lady.
Not that one.
Don't
do that. Taking pictures.
That's terrible. But no, it's true. It's like I said, even when I was a kid, that always seemed very silly to me. I'm like, look, tits are tits.
Yeah.
Like, just show all this. It's fine.
Fucking fine.
They're called breasts and everyone has them. That was Rick from The Young Ones. But if anybody got that, free the nipple for the lads. Yeah, so if you said, I have seen Ed Wood a couple times.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't see Ed Wood. There's something that says
Mango said Ed Wood is one of the greatest films in the 90s. I agree. Yeah. Oh, it was just, I think that the reason that Ed Wood is still so remembered is because he was so fucking enthusiastic. Like, he was just really not good at what he did, but he was just so happy about it, and he was so happy to be able to do it. And so I think that he had a lot of affection for his stuff, even though it was terrible. So I think that that really kind of, that genuineness kind of shows through it, I think. You know what I mean? Which is why people still remember him nowadays. And that's that's one of the things that I like about the movie Ed Wood, is that it's so affectionate.
Everything I put together about the guy, I think he was more in love with the idea of being a director and and having a cast and directing shit and being around a bunch of people. I think it was mostly
then actually wanting to learn how to do any of those things.
And I don't even think
like it, technically correctly.
Yeah, no. And I don't think he was really doing it even for the money.
No, I think he couldn't have been.
I think it was so he could run around town saying he was a director and having a bunch of friends who were actors and stuff. And
yeah, he liked the whole
that were
theme.
In Hollywood. He was just, it was just so he could be a part of Hollywood. I think that's all it was.
Yeah.
That's what makes most sense.
Yeah, like you said, he didn't really seem all that worried about...
Nah, he didn't care about the movie.
No.
I don't think so.
I mean,
I think the movie was just a fun part of it.
Yeah.
But the idea of the movie being like super high quality and being some real deep story, not at all. He wasn't interested in that shit at all. They were just going to, you know... Same thing with fucking Bela Lugosi. Okay, let's knock this fucker out. You know, it's just that shit, you know?
They're just, move the tentacles around. Make it look like he's killing you.
Yeah. They're just trying to have a job, you know?
Oh, my God. It was like when somebody fucking knocks over... What was that, with that one scene where they were in Ed Wood where they were filming Plan 9 from Outer Space and, like, Tor knocks over the fucking cardboard gravestone. He said, no one's going to notice that someone's...
No one's going to care.
Or when he runs into the cardboard wall. You know what I mean? Like going through the door.
Well,
in real life, that would probably happen to him every day.
Sci-fi and horror from his era was all little kids.
Yeah.
So they didn't...
They didn't have real discerning taste.
I think it was mostly just hanging out with actors and fucking drinking in the clubs and going to the bars afterwards. And
yeah, just having a good time.
Having fun, driving around, you know, having fun.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else you would like to say about Batman, The Dark Knight Returns?
No.
Yeah. I actually really liked it. Like I said, it's a tribute to how cool it was that I didn't even realize. I mean, I think I was more than 2 hours into it before I said, wow, this is kind of long.
Yeah.
And then like when we kind of realized. But it's like two parts. It came out, like I said, it came direct to DVD, but it came out, I think the first part came out in September of 2012, and then the second part came out in January of 2013.
Now, some people are saying that they're coming to Ed Wood's defense, that he did try to make a good movie, so that he's being creative. Not saying that he wasn't creative. It's just, I don't think he had really good taste, and I don't think he didn't have any money or resources. Is one thing, okay.
I do think that he thought that his scripts were good stories. Wasn't very detail oriented. No. Like, he thought, oh, well, the story's so good that no one's going to notice all these little technical details. I think that he thought that.
Yeah, but then you have to question that concept too, because a guy who wants to make really good movies and wants to write really good stories reads books and learns about the craft on how stories are written and how stories are structured and how movies are structured and done. And he didn't do that. So he didn't do a lot of the background. He was kind of like a carnival barker in a certain way. Yeah. We'll just do it. We'll just do it. Yeah, we'll just do it. He was a guy like that.
It'll all work out.
It'll all work out. It'll be fine. Don't worry. So he's called a hack director because he was a hack. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't take the time to actually learn the method.
Yeah, he didn't really have any, like, technical skill or anything like that.
No. And didn't have any skills as a writer or anything.
Like you said, I think he just liked the idea.
He liked the idea.
Of making movies.
And he just wanted to make the movie and have fun and be around actors.
He didn't just want to go through all the...
Be a director. Yeah, well, yeah.
All the drudgery of actually learning how to make a movie.
Of course not.
Because that's hard.
All right. The opposite would be a guy who went to the same middle school as I did, fucking Dominguez Elementary School, and that's Quentin Tarantino. He was a couple years older than me, but we went to school together. I vaguely remember him. I remember things about him. I thought we were in the same class, but Jenny actually did the research, and he had to have been about 2 years older than me. But I did remember him. He ended up working in the local video store. He had no education or training in movies or anything, but he learned it on his own from watching movies.
Because he really loved
that shit. So he could write a screenplay because he learned how to write a screenplay, read books on how to do it, knew everything about editing, and he did all of this as he was working in a video store watching movies. And there was nothing really special about him other than his dedication to film. He loved that shit.
Yeah. And if you love something, then you'll learn how to fucking do it.
Yeah. And he was kind of, like I said, I moved away from there at the end of seventh grade. All right. So my friends Jimmy and Mike, who stayed there, they knew him better than I did because, you know, they were around there for years, you know. And they said he was kind of a little bit, not idiot savant, what do you call it? He was kind of like Asperger's syndrome.
Yeah.
He was like that, a little bit that way. Real nerdy. You felt very uncomfortable being around him. He got better, though, as he got older. But I think confidence does a lot for you. You know what I mean? Success, you know, breeds confidence. So it changed his personality a little bit. But they say he's a good guy. But he taught all that on his own. He talked his way into that job. He talked his way into those studios.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand, like, it helps to go to film school because you have kind of like a framework and, you know, they can kind of point you in the right direction and you have classes and people that are in the industry that can teach you stuff. But if you have enough fucking determination and love for the genre, you can do without it. You can learn anything on your own, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very... You just have to have the determination to sit down and do it.
And another thing is that you cannot teach talent.
Well, that too.
People either have it or they don't.
Yeah.
And he did have talent. And he had drive. He kept, you know, he just kept doing it. Kept, you know.
I mean.
He just wouldn't quit.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you just won't go away, they're forced to deal with you. Yeah. Basically, in a way, you know.
I mean, the thing is that I think that anybody can be taught to make a movie. Not everybody can be taught to make a great movie. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, everybody can learn, could learn the technical aspects of it, but not everybody is going to like be able to produce anything that's worth a crap.
Graham's like, fucking Quentin Tarantino, Mary Lynn. How many famous people did I grow up with? You know her as Parker Posey. I knew her from Mississippi. All right. Parker's her middle name. Her first name is Missy. Missy Posey is her name. I was friends with her brother too. She has a twin brother who's a boy. What do they call that? Fraternal?
That's fraternal twins. Yeah.
See who else? Bunch of people.
Yeah.
Bunch of them. A lot of people from bands.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Somebody asked if we would review the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yeah, I can do that one.
We have that, don't we?
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah, I thought we did.
Yeah, we did.
We've only done a couple westerns.
I got all the good westerns.
We did, what you call it?
Did High Plains Drifter.
High Plains Drifter, yeah.
That's a good, which is a ghost movie. A lot of people don't know that.
We've done some newer ones, too. Like, we did Bone Tomahawk and stuff.
Yeah. We haven't done Once Upon a Time in the West. Didn't do the Man with No Name trilogy yet. There's a bunch of them that we have to have.
We actually have those.
Yeah.
I remember really liking them.
Haven't done Jeremiah Johnson. Real good one.
Yeah, he definitely wants to do that one these days. Yeah. All right. You got anything else you need to add?
No, that's it.
Okay. So we've been going on almost an hour.
Yeah.
Sanders, she has a brother. He is a boy. You didn't gotta say that, did you? But so I guess what's today? It's Tuesday, right?
She's a twin brother who's a boy, I said.
Yeah.
And not just
brother implies boy.
Oh, okay.
That's why she was laughing.
Twin brother.
That's why she was
laughing. Yeah. Twin brother. She got a twin who's a boy.
Yeah, that's what you should if you had said that, then it wouldn't have been funny.
But the fact that you said boy, but they weren't identical.
Yeah. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
They were both super good looking. She's real good looking, and he was kind of like Superman. He looked like Superman.
Huh.
Yeah, he got all the girls.
All of them.
His name is Chris, yeah. Chris Posey. He was cool. Real cool.
Well, there you go. There's another famous person that he knows.
Yeah, Chris Posey.
All right, so it's Tuesday today, which means that tomorrow, Wednesday, is our weekly party stream. Now, I did say we're going to talk about lots of other things on there, too. But I did say that I was going to talk about Munchausen syndrome because in the poll for the Friday night show, Munchausen syndrome was tied with Creepy Disappearances Volume 5. Mm-hmm. So I said, OK, we'll do Creepy Disappearances on the Friday show and then we'll talk about Munchausen syndrome on the Wednesday show. So nobody will feel like they got ripped off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we can talk about that and then whatever else we feel like talking about, you know.
Yep.
After a drink or three. But yeah, thank you very much again, David June, for sending us the movie. We're going to watch Mask of the Phantasm maybe tonight or tomorrow night. We'll see. So we might do a review of that one eventually as well. So yeah, we enjoyed that very much. So thanks everybody for dropping by. And we will see you guys tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll see you then. Bye. Fucking yard work. Yeah, no.